Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to another edition of Ringside Chaos. This is the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and Paint Train Pipe Bomb Productions. My name is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. And let's proudly welcome back the Master of Mayhem himself, Ricky Freakin' Litwinkiewicz. Ricky, it's time to talk some pro wrestling, sir.
What's up, everybody?
Well, first things first, I think the first subject on the agenda is the working partnership that has been announced between the WWE and TNA Wrestling.
Well, I would say more now the official announcement,
yes,
of WWE with TNA.
Yes, because they've been working together for quite a while. 3 years ago, when Mickie James, as the TNA Knockouts Women's Champion, made her appearance at the Royal Rumble, that was step number one. But before they took further steps, they had to get rid of Vince McMahon.
They have been kind of craving this lovely agreement between the two.
Yes, you have indeed. You've been vocal about it on this show.
And let's be honest, there are wrestlers now, former WWE superstars, sports entertainers, wrestling in TNA. You have the Hardy Boys.
Current champs, tag team champions.
Santino Marella running the show, so to speak.
How about that?
You have Nick Nemeth. Formerly known as who, Alex?
Dolph Ziggler.
There is quite a few
mm-hmm.
that have migrated from WWE to TNA. Now, we get the possibility of seeing some of the matchups that people have been drooling for. For example, I would like to see Moose and maybe Seth Rollins at one point.
Hey.
But the legitimacy of what's going on between WWE and TNA is that the higher tier stars from TNA will probably have spots in like the Royal Rumble. We obviously saw Jordan Grace last year in the Royal Rumble. We've had Mickie James in the Royal Rumble. That might be ways to fill in some of the gaps for guys that maybe were slated to be in the Royal Rumble, but now have kind of fallen off. And have gotten to that spot where, hey, you know what? We got TNA. They're right down the road. Like, we can call a Joe Hendry. We can maybe call Moose. We can maybe call, I mean, there's quite a few guys that you could do this with. Oh, and then don't forget, You have teams like the Motor City Machine Guns that were originally in TNA. So there is a lot of potential matchups we can actually go and see now between the two companies and maybe get the NXT talent a little bit more, I'll put it in quotation marks, enhanced by going against some of the other tag teams that they've never seen before. Braxium showed up at Genesis to go against the Rascals, which is a matchup I would like to see. So that intertwining of the talent legitimately destroys the forbidden door of companies working with companies.
Mm-hmm. And I think this partnership, mainly in WWE's case, it revolves around the NXT brand. But I think if things continue to go so well, they're going to bring in the other brands into this working agreement as well.
I don't. To honestly tell you at this point, I don't know what other brand you probably would bring in. Like, I don't ever see, it happened in the past and it probably didn't work out as well. When TNA had a small agreement with AEW.
Right.
The whole Kenny Omega saga.
Yes.
I don't see that happening.
Really?
I don't see a WWE, AEW. I don't see maybe a TNA again with AEW. I definitely don't see any of the companies in Mexico saying, hey, you know what? Let's hook up with WWE.
Really?
Because of the fact being that there are companies, I don't remember what the names are, but there were companies that refused to work with AEW. And when they had things like Forbidden Door, where they had the ability to bring in a lot of that Mexican Spanish talent, companies refused to have people work there. In fact, Forbidden Door, we were not allowed to see Penta and Rey Fénix wrestle in Forbidden Door because they're on rosters in Mexico. So if it's really going to be that tight, like a lot of the Mexican brands like AAA, if they don't want to be bothered with that whole thing, they're not going to do it. Right. And they're really set in their ways where a lot of the Mexican brands work with each other, not very much so where they work out of Mexico.
I believe CMLL is working with AEW.
On a limited deal, though. Okay. There's a limited deal where they only have like a handful of guys that are allowed to cross the border and go and work for other companies.
So just simple handshake agreements.
It's more of, I hate to say it, it's more international.
Mm-hmm.
That we've seen CMLL or AAA send guys to New Japan and be parts of factions there where they're not working on a consistent basis. They're there for the mainstream shows, or as WWE likes to call it, the PLEs. When I see it as international, again, New Japan, CMLL, AAA, those two work well. But apparently there's something with the U.S. companies that they're very lenient on doing that with their superstars.
It's unfortunate because many times on this program, I've been extremely vocal about all companies finding ways to work with each other because you know how bad I want professional wrestling to prosper at the highest level.
If it were back in the day, let's go quite a few decades back. If we had it where it was with the territories, where everybody just kind of worked together, you could send a guy to another territory for a main event or whatever, a storyline, and then you ship them back.
Right.
Like, that was the way back in the day. Now that we're in 2025, you don't have territories anymore because companies free range to go from place to place to place without having any, like, qualms with another company. And
the days of the National Wrestling Alliance when it was a governing body, because now the NWA is its own promotion.
Mm-hmm. So, you know what? In a way, if we get one appearance from, like, Teton from, I think he's from CMLL. He's wrestling with LFI in Japan, in New Japan. He's part of a stable there. But like, they'll send a guy over, they go to the dojo, they learn the strong style of wrestling because it gives them their moveset a new dimension. That's where it happens the most. But if you're going to do storyline stuff, it doesn't work out. So again, the trading off of a guy or two to go to another organization is not just for storyline. It's more for the fact that they're getting another moveset added, or they're getting additional training to enrich what their moveset is right now. And that's why, again, a lot of companies don't like to say, hey, like, we want to work with you for 6 months, because they're not really doing anything except for making a name for their talent.
Right.
So you want to be more exclusive having that talent. It's another payoff. I mean, again, if we could flip a coin tomorrow, it lands on heads, we could have every organization working with each other. That would really stir up the pot a lot, but I think, again, it just right now gives it more significance for each company to be able to do what they're doing. But the significance of WWE and TNA, because you have guys from both organizations within both brands, you could do something like that.
So how excited are you about the working relationship between WWE and TNA wrestling?
To be honest, like, it's already kind of started.
I mean, like, it's been like that for a while, honestly.
We've seen some results.
Yeah.
Like, Joe Hendry was hated out of the training center in Orlando during a battle royal. Like, 28 other guys threw him out while one guy sat in the corner. Like, you kind of figure things like that are going to happen. But now, like, again, you see an opening of talent from a mainstream established company to a semi-mainstream established company. They're both going to end up helping each other out. It's not just about the product that we see on TV. It's also going to be the product, both products, getting a little bit more focus. And I'm going to say this in a very, very indirect way, which, being from the position that I'm in, it's more of a business proposition to get TNA a little bit more dinero. Because as much as they have a lot of good talent in TNA, TNA could use a little bit more money to bring in maybe a little bit more talent, or be able to make their product better production-wise. Like, both companies can work on that, because TNA's production, it's about a 75% product. Let's
right.
be honest.
Yeah.
If you saw right. Genesis this weekend, you could see how bad the cameramen were. You could see how bad, like, they kind of put in promos, or they threw in advertisements or whatever. WWE is a little bit more well on that side for perfect production than TNA does. So both companies doing that merge is more money for TNA. They get to learn how to do better production. Maybe storylines could be a little bit better, not drawn out, make you want to throw up, make you want to go to the bathroom during a match. Sometimes, like AEW, you know, like, I think it's like Big Brother helping out like the teenage brother
right.
at this point. And TNA could probably get back to where they were about a decade ago, where that company was legit on fire, having star after star after star.
Oh, yeah.
And AJ Styles, a
Bully
Jake
Ray.
Eagle,
yeah.
Bully Ray, or when they had the tag teams, when it was Team 3D, and the Steiner Brothers,
wow.
and the Voodoo Kin Mafia. That's a name a lot of people, if you don't know who the Voodoo Kin Mafia is, hit up your local YouTube, type in Voodoo Kin Mafia, you'll see who they were.
Right.
But again, like, TNA had a big prominence with when they had the six-sided ring.
Oh, yeah.
I don't ever see that coming back, but at the same right, WWE can help get them back to that spot where they were a decade ago.
Absolutely, and I look forward to it. And you talk about Genesis, you talk about Joe Hendry. Joe Hendry is now the new heavyweight champion. He is the new TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
So the Joe Hendry thing, and this is where I think WWE kind of stepped in on this one a little bit, because now this is his third attempt at the TNA world title. He had one against Moose. He had one where there was JBL running around, Ryan Nemeth running around, the special guest referee, him running around, like, too much chaos. And then they kind of pushed it off. But let's be honest, Nick Nemeth, a.k.a. Dolph Ziggler, not a world champion. He has the charisma for it, but the charisma only lasts so long. This is why WWE had turned around and said, hey, we're going to give you the title for a little while, but you're not going to hold it for very long. Because we're going to be able to, you're going to be the placeholder guy. And that's what TNA did with it, the placeholder guy. Now they have a guy that rightfully should have been a world champion a long time ago. Let's be honest, all right?
Yeah, no doubt. And believe it or not, Joe Hendry actually has a desire to defend the TNA world title against John Cena.
Well, before we even talk about the John Cena thing, all right? Let's remember that we have to go back a long time ago to when we first saw Joe Hendry. And I'm going to bring up a wrestling organization that was kind of miserable when it went defunct. And that would be WCPW. It was a wrestling organization out of the UK. They had quite a few good guys that were in that organization. Guys like Pete Dunne that were out there. Hendry was there. They had guest appearance from Alberto Del Rio, although he went by
El Patron
back then. Yeah. Kurt Angle went there for a guest appearance. Rey Mysterio was a guy there. One guy who's really, really, truly now in his own, years later, part of the Bullet Club, Gabe Kidd. He was a string bean guy who's now bulked up, spent his time in the New Japan Dojo, and has become a legit new pillar to New Japan Pro Wrestling. And for me to even call him out as a pillar means that he has really seasoned himself enough as part of the Bullet Club, mind you, that when you go to a New Japan Pro Wrestling event and you see Gabe Kidd's name on the card, you know you're going to be in for a good match. And I referenced that WCPW because there's Joe Hendry, there's Gabe Kidd. Gabe Kidd just went to town with Kenny Omega the beginning of this month.
Mm-hmm.
In January, in the Tokyo Dome. So you got to say that from that background, for being in a wrestling company in the UK till now, Joe Hendry's always had the charisma part. He's always had the moveset part. The question being is at what point in time do you put a title on Joe Hendry and let him have a run? You've seen the bass run. You've seen him do the whole karaoke, let me sing a song about you thing. I do my own theme. Like, he is a fan favorite.
Right.
But it was the question in time being, when are we going to give him gold? And they never settled for giving him a mid-card title. And I think if he would have had a mid-card title, not like a digital media title, not like a TV title, like if you want to do it, I mean, it's TNA. The only thing you really do is the X division. He's not an X division guy. But you got to find a spot for him to have a title run before he gets to the big one. He's been in the business 14 years now. So now you give him a title run. Let's see what the results are going to be. Unless it's a guy, again, like Moose, who former NFL player, they've given him title runs before. They've gotten a lot out of him. They've logged a lot of mileage with him. He's a good fucking wrestler. And for me to even say that a former football player is a good wrestler, that's kind of saying a lot. Mm-hmm. But until that time, will you feel the need to say, hey, like, I think the Hendrew thing is done. You've got a legitimate base to run with the title for a little while. And again, opens up more doors like the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we get a legit, like, Hendry versus Obafemi match at NXT.
Right.
Champion versus champion. Yeah.
Or imagine Julia versus Masha Slamovic.
Exactly.
Oh, I would love to see it. And we're going to see it. Make no mistake.
And I guarantee you, like, the whole – I mean, we're staying away from Joe Hendry at this point a little bit. But, again, it shows the difference now that you're going to put the title on somebody that now you could have him battle, get maybe a little bit better on the mic than he is now. If at some point you do anything Joe Hendry versus John Cena on the stick, Cena's going to destroy him.
Right.
We've seen WWE's been uploading a crap load of clips of Cena doing, like, the freaking battles and shit. The rap battles in the ring, like, they've been posting a crap load of those. Hendry will beat him technically. Like, moveset-wise, Hendry's better. I mean, Cena only has 6 moves. Well, let's be honest. He's a 6-move guy. He'll go 10 minutes with you in the ring, 15 minutes with you in the ring. And he'll take the beating, and then obviously he goes through his 5 moves of doom, and there you go. Your match is over. But Cena's not taking a title from him. It would just be one of those what-if dream matches.
Right, absolutely.
That's the thing. Like, after Cena posts the TNA logo, then you know now that, like, there is that real deal working relationship between the two.
I mean, we're definitely going to see some TNA superstars in the Royal Rumble. I think Josh Alexander might actually be one of them.
You know what? I'm not sure of that one. I don't know if he would be one I would throw in there. I mean, let's kind of be honest here. TNA just signing the deal. The women's division of the WWE is kind of weak. I mean, yeah, we're going to have a returning Charlotte Flair.
And Becky. I bet you Becky Lynch will come back.
And maybe Becky. But you know what? Those are not fireworks that I really want to see. Like, I want to see Jordynne Grace in there again.
Mm-hmm.
But days before the Royal Rumble, she signs her WWE contract. That means that makes her a mainstay
with the
in NXT or WWE. I want to see Slamovic in the Royal Rumble. She's the TNA title holder. Like, it's not that they've been shy, that they haven't had women's champions from other brands in the Royal Rumble.
Mickey James, when she entered the Rumble 3 years ago.
And you figure Jordynne Grace was twice? I think she was twice in the Royal Rumble?
I believe so.
So, again, like, yeah, you kind of got to think of that. You know, you're not going to ask Michelle McCool to go in the Royal Rumble. You're not going to have Lita in the Royal Rumble. Like, I think the WWE at this point right now is not going to give you those legends in the Royal Rumble. Last year, they didn't have one legend in the Royal Rumble. Think of that.
Mm-hmm.
There is enough talent now, if you import somebody from the TNA roster, to go into the Royal Rumble. You have 3 brands of women, NXT, Raw, SmackDown, to go into the Royal Rumble. And the NXT roster for the women's division is just as big as the roster on Raw and SmackDown. So 2 or 3 of the women from TNA in the Rumble, probably. But you're gonna fill it with Raw, you're gonna fill it with SmackDown, and you're gonna fill it with NXT.
So you said,
like, I'll tell you right now, I see probably, from even NXT alone, Stephanie McCour, she's probably going to be in it.
Roxanne Perez
is probably going to be in it. Julia probably going to be in it. Like, there, like those are the top three right now that you're going to think about.
Right. But as far as a TNA women's wrestler, which aside from Jordynne Grace, who do you think would be in the women's Royal Rumble? You think Tessa Blanchard, maybe?
No, definitely not. I don't think Blanchard even sniffs the Royal Rumble unless she buys a ticket and ends up in the fucking upper deck. Because there's way too much drama with her right now that you could turn around and say, hey, like, we're just going to throw Tessa in just to see what the WWE fans are going to go for.
She'd be subjected to negative chants, obviously.
I have a feeling she'd get booed out of the building maybe 1% lower than Hulk Hogan at the Netflix debut for Monday Night Raw. Like, that would be some serious, like, oh, hell no, why is she here?
Right. You never know. I mean, a lot of names have declared themselves in the Royal Rumble. I mean, as far as legends coming back, I mean, that's very likely to be on the men's Royal Rumble. I mean, I'm always hoping year after year the chance that Stevie Richards makes a return to the Royal Rumble, but under a certain gimmick, and I think you know which gimmick we'd love to see Stevie Richards come back at,
yeah,
right?
But you know what, though? Like, as much as, like, we're sitting here and we're, like, 2 weeks out from the Royal Rumble, pretty much, all right? I don't see – there's way too much talent. You got way too many guys doing stuff at the Rumble. Like, how could you even think possibly about the legends?
Right. I mean,
I could see a guy like out of NXT alone, Ethan Page. They're thinking about bringing up Trick Williams. Yeah, there's already two there, and you've already had like nine guys, already put their ring in for the Royal Rumble. I mean, there's a guy like. Even Braun Strowman's probably going to be in the Rumble. If you really want to show off guys like Obafemi, you got guys like that. Like, the sky is the limit. There are so many different names that WWE has in-house. They don't have to bring anybody in.
One source predicts that Ricky Starks could actually appear at the Royal Rumble and make his WWE debut.
There's a bunch of guys that AEW is just letting go. How about having Aleister Black back in the Royal Rumble? That would be a shock to shit moment. Because, again, like, he's saying he didn't leave, but all of the dirt sheets have said, hey, homeboy hasn't worked since November. Think of it that way. I mean, you bring in Aleister Black.
Josh Alexander as well.
But Josh Alexander said he was done after the pay-per-view on Sunday.
Yeah, lost an I Quit match, I think, to Mike Santana.
Yeah.
Yeah, and why not see Mike Santana in the Royal Rumble?
I wouldn't be shocked, but you know what? Like, I think at some point, like, they have to bring the 5150 back. Like, I see Santana kind of on the border. You know, I'm not making that a racist remark, so don't anybody think that. But he's, like, on that borderline right now of, like, where, like, they really, really have a good talent. He's got the storyline, but, like, they really just don't know what to do with him. I don't know. Like, I can't see very many coming from TNA. I really feel that, like, the Rumble itself, maybe two guys from TNA. Hendry, I mean, if you really think... If you really think he's going to be in there, I don't know, but I would say more of guys like Penta, you're going to see in there.
Who's 2-0 now. Wonderful match with Pete Dunne.
I mean, again, like, there's talent. Like, 30 guys is really, like, not even a chip in the bucket for that.
Well, Rosemary actually could be a surprise entrant in the Women's Royal Rumble. Never know.
I actually wouldn't be shocked with that. Because she's already wrestled at NXT, so that's a very big possibility.
I mean, she just recently challenged Masha Slamovich for the TNA Knockouts World Championship in a losing effort.
And if you're going to bring Slamovich over, then maybe Cora Jade ends up in the Royal Rumble.
Absolutely. I mean, Slamovich, I've seen her work before. I mean, a couple of years ago when I was in Tampa with Chris Rex, we were at a show and Slamovich worked it. So
yeah, but she also, remember, she works in multiple companies at this point.
Right.
Recently, she was in GCW. She wasn't at Bloodsport, though. Thank God for that.
Well, that's where I saw her. It was 3 years ago. It was at Bloodsport. Yeah.
But yeah, but like she works for multiple companies. And again, like I think that's one of the good reasons that every once in a while now, like if you're a champion, you can be lent out to another company. And that was kind of a really good lead in with what they did at NXT on Tuesday by saying, okay, you know what? Like this is going to show well before we make the official announcement about that. The WWE TNA merger. But yeah, like there's a lot of different things you could do with the Rumble at this point.
Absolutely. So I'm actually excited for the Rumble. Now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, it will be covered extensively. The last part of the show is, well, we got to talk about a certain wrestler that apparently finally retired from in-ring competition. And I know that this wrestler, you have followed his career for, well, I would say for probably, if not for most of it, for all, well, if not for all of it, then for most of it.
Well,
you know what I'm talking about, right?
Christopher Daniels, you got to remember
him. Angel.
You got to remember him in Ring of Honor. You have to remember him from TNA. That was his longest tenured company out of all of it. Then you had him go to AEW with SCU, Kazarian. Like Daniels has had a really, really long career. He's in his 50s, just to stay in the business. They kept him in the back. If you really want to kind of like laugh, when the Young Bucks had their show on YouTube, he was part of that. Like, a lot of the guys from AEW were really, really close in the beginning. Like, I don't think that kind of stayed the way a lot of people thought of. I had a lot of mixed thoughts and confusions in my head on how the retirement went. Like, I don't know if I really wanted to get snot kicked out of me on national TV to be retired. The unfortunate thing was is that the news came out before it aired. The dirt sheets had everything on this, that it was going to be a bloody mess for him. It's against freaking Hangman Page, who's now on semi-lunatic levels. He's not on Moxley levels by any right, but like I don't know, like I would have probably wanted to go out waving my hand, you know, be able to do the monumental boot leave in the middle of the ring, you know, catch my swan song and walk out of the building. But he got carried out on a stretcher, and you're kind of like, damn, like Christopher Daniels took an ass kicking for the last part of his career. Like, come on, man. Like, I don't know if that was Daniel's deal or that was Tony Khan. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think that's just the right way to go out, but I mean, he hadn't wrestled in like 2 years. And like, it really didn't make a lot of sense. How do you go out as that as your swan song?
I mean, aside from as an in-ring performer, I mean, he's been working as the head of talent relations with AEW. I think that's been his position since the beginning.
Well, yeah, he was doing talent relations while he was wrestling, though, at that point. Again, like, you go back to the SCU days, you know, like, a lot of guys were doing double duty. They're doing backstage duty, and they're in the ring performing. But, like, again, it just doesn't, like, when you've seen a guy wrestle and you've seen what he's done, like he really was never a world champion anywhere.
He was a Ring of Honor world champion.
Ring of Honor world champion, but he was never a TNA world champion. He was never an AEW singles champion. Like, it's a very, very rough road when you know, like, the situations that guy has been through his career. Like, I just don't get it, whether it was his idea or not. Like, I think it kind of puts a little bit of a black eye on it. Not wrestle for 2 years and then get the snot kicked out of you. Like, I don't know. But, I mean, he had a great career. Let's not lie. He's into his 50s.
I mean, he was known as the king of the Indies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, he is known as the king of the Indies. I shouldn't say he was. He's won 20 championships in his career. Three-time Impact X Division champion. Six-time NWA World Tag Team champion. Two-time Impact World Tag Team champion. And again, one-time Ring of Honor World champion. Even Ring of Honor World Television champion. Four-time Ring of Honor World Tag Team champion. Even a Ring of Honor World Six-Man Tag Team champion. And even an IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team champion.
And you notice how it's both, a majority of that is tag. Like, they're not really... Like, I love him as a singles guy. The Dark Angel.
Fallen Angel, you mean?
The Ankh tattoo on his chest. Like, you know, come on, man. Like, I think he, again, deserved a lot more credit than what he was given. I could probably put him in the top 10 all time. Ring technicians, guys that you know that when you're working with him, you're going to have a good match, but you're not coming out of it injured. He's probably one of the safest guys to probably work with in the ring. And again, like, I can't put it, because that list could be argued for years of top technicians in the ring, but I always thought he was one of them. I mean, he came up with the BME. Like, everybody just called it a moonsault. He called it the BME. Like, the best moonsault ever. And he 95% of the time landed it correctly. Come on. Like, Christopher Daniels, freaking, obviously top technician, great tag team wrestler. I think he just deserved a little bit more credit singles.
No doubt about it. And, you know, what's interesting is he was at the beginning with Ring of Honor. He was at the beginning of TNA Wrestling. And not to mention, we talk about the beginnings of Ring of Honor. I mean, it's so special. He was actually in the first ever main event of Ring of Honor in a match with Low-Ki and Bryan Danielson.
That's where the history starts. If you're in the ring with them two, then yeah, you know that the potential was there from the beginning.
And not only that, he was actually in the first ever match that contested for the Ring of Honor World Championship, which of course was won by Low-Ki.
Yeah.
It was a 60-minute Iron Man match, a four-way 60-minute Iron Man match. I mean, how about that? A four-way 60-minute Iron Man match.
And you could actually find that match on YouTube.
Yeah.
I will tell you, because I watched a lot of Ring of Honor.
So Christopher Daniels, a super unique and very well-respected, illustrious career.
Now, I'll pose the question to you. Known the fact that he's wrestled in three main organizations, would he be considered a Hall of Famer?
In the pro wrestling business? Absolutely.
And which company do you think would induct him into the Hall of Fame?
Well, there's no reason why he shouldn't be inducted into all of them. Now, I mean, now the three main promotions, it's Ring of Honor, TNA Wrestling or Impact Wrestling, whatever you want to call it, and New Japan, correct?
Well, now you obviously he had AEW.
So that's actually four major promotions.
Well, let's not mention the New Japan thing.
Okay.
Because the New Japan thing, they don't really do kind of like Hall of Fame type deals. Like, the three of them that would do it would be TNA, Ring of Honor, and AEW.
Now, as far as Hall of Fames goes, now, he is actually part of the Indie Wrestling Hall of Fame, class of 2023. I mean, again, known as the King of the Indies, so obviously. But yes, there's no reason for him to not... He will be... Does Ring of Honor have a Hall of Fame?
I believe they do. Well, it's just not like a huge... It's not like WWE ceremonies.
I think I talked about that with Chris when Chris and I were running a show called Wrestling with a Bear. So I believe Ring of Honor does have actually, it's been a while, but I believe Ring of Honor does have a Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's just not as pronounced as.
Okay, yes, they do. I'm actually looking at it right now. Yes, the first class was in 2022. Bryan Danielson, Samoa Joe, and CM Punk were the inaugural class, and the Briscoes were also part of that group. So recently there was the. Well, there was the anniversary, which, you know, the sad part is, you know, he died the day before my birthday. But yeah, but also as part of the inaugural class, the group that was inducted first were the Briscoes, but they haven't actually had anything since 2022. So that's why I think that's why I forgot about Ring of Honor's Hall of Fame. But there's no doubt he is a Hall of Famer for Ring of Honor, for TNA Wrestling, and for AEW.
Well, I definitely say he should definitely go into the TNA Hall of Fame.
That is, okay, there's because no argument is, there. There's honestly no argument there. If anybody argues with that,
here's why you kind of argue with it, right? So, he started out in Ring of Honor. Obviously, now that you got Tony Khan running Ring of Honor, it's not going to be a push, meaning that the Ring of Honor Hall of Fame is only 2 years old. So let's kind of, you kind of put a question mark on the Ring of Honor one. Okay. AEW's only been in business 5 years. So you really can't even put a Hall of Fame where AEW is.
And that's why the future of the Ring of Honor Hall of Fame is unclear, because when it was purchased by Tony Khan.
But TNA was his longest tenured company. He was there with guys like AJ Styles, you know, like Low-Key.
Samoa Joe.
Red.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was Red. Even Sanjay Dutt. Like, the list goes on and on and on and on, because he was in the X division.
Right.
Which, you know, like, I kind of think the X division's kind of changed now. It's not, you know, as guys like to quote, the blippy dippy wrestling. But that was his longest place.
Right.
And if I have say, like, I know their TNA Hall of Fame is usually in like October. I would definitely be calling them like, hey, I think Chris Daniels has got to go there. Like, you got to start remembering, like, I don't know, I think they do one or two inductions per year at TNA, but Christopher Daniels should be the next one on the list.
That's the part where I say there's no argument. As far as him being in the TNA Wrestling Hall of Fame, there's no argument.
That's where I go.
So, Christopher Daniels, thank you. On behalf of Ringside Chaos, on behalf of Pain Train Pipe Bomb Productions, on behalf of the Bear of Texas podcast, Ricky and I, from the bottom of our heart, we thank you, sir, for a very great and super illustrious and unique career.
So I agree.
What's your favorite match? But what was your favorite match with Christopher Daniels?
I'm trying to remember the third participant in the match. Him.
Are you talking about, like, the inaugural match for the world title, for the Ring of Honor title?
No. X Division. It was an X Division match. I believe it was him, AJ, and Samoa Joe. And the X and the title were up on the ropes. The big X Division match. I can't remember the name of it, but...
I think I know the match you're talking about, because Chris has actually talked to me about that match before.
Like, that match...
At least I'm sure he has.
...does stand out, because no matter how you want to cut it at this point, we're talking years later. Daniels, his lasted the test of time. AJ, multiple-time world champion... multiple-time X-Division champion, tag team champion. In fact, I believe AJ and Daniels were the tag team champions at one point. And then you look at Samoa Joe. Like, Samoa Joe, granted, he's out filming Twisted Metal freaking episodes or whatever now, and he's coming back. But when you got three guys of that talent, Samoa Joe, big dude, moves like a fucking cruiserweight.
Who, by the way, recently made its return.
And you got AJ Styles, that not only wrestled in TNA, went to New Japan for the ultimately longest time, comes back to the States, does more TNA, then to the WWE. Like, I don't think if you could put together any more dream matches, that you could say anything better than Christopher Daniels AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. Like, they've had battles. You just can't say anything more. Like anybody will go back and look at Christopher Daniels' matches. The triple threat for the X Division is probably up there. The top one out of all of them.
Well said, Ricky. Well said. So once again, Christopher Daniels, thank you. God bless you. And you talk about, I mean, him and AJ Styles are extremely, extremely close friends.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as far as the family goes, I think AJ Styles named his son after him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, AJ Styles' first son's middle name was actually named after Christopher Daniels.
It's a crazy, crazy scene.
Mm-hmm. And you know, and one of the most brilliant things, I mean, the first stable that Daniels started, Ring of Honor, known as the Prophecy. You know, it's pretty freaking cool. So I'm glad we took the time to honor Christopher Daniels because, you know, honoring wrestlers that have made such an impact in the industry and continue to make that impact. I mean, Christopher Daniels as a mentor and I'm sure he's done he's trained wrestlers as well. It's not only what he's done in the ring, but what he does behind the scenes and to help out the other talent.
I'm so grateful.
I'm thankful.
I just, maybe it's just the nostalgia of when guys are going out. Like recently you had with Triple H, The Undertaker, like the guys that, yeah, I'm done. Like I'm hanging it up. Like I'm putting the boots in the ring. Like I probably would have rather have seen that than a guy going out on a stretcher, I guess, just for the nostalgia part of it. Like, I don't want to get my ass kicked my last match. Like, if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose. But I the guy has such a great career and then goes out like that. It's a little, I think to probably say that's probably the worst story writing ever.
It was definitely the wrong way to do it. But, you know, again, unfortunately, it adds fuel to that fire as far as the criticism towards Tony Khan and the creative of AEW. First of all, before we let you go, any thoughts on tonight's Raw?
Pretty dull. Like, I have said this now. This is now our third week of having Raw on Netflix. I have said it to multiple people that you have such a great first week that I don't know over the course of time WWE can keep the steam up. It's going to be a very, very difficult ride for them to give you a card. First off, where you don't have limitations on time. I've kind of noticed this now the first 3 weeks. The first night, 4 matches, go over 3 hours. Last week, 2.5. We're fine with 2.5. We got all our material in. Yeah, all good, fine, whatever. Penta's here. You know, we're dealing with all this crap now. It's Royal Rumble season. And they're mentioning, for some stupid reason, Elimination Chamber, which shouldn't even be a thought right now. Like, Rumble, Mania, Elimination Chamber. Elimination Chamber is like Thanksgiving, the forgotten holiday. Because nobody really puts out any decorations for it. Halloween, Christmas, St. Patty's Day, Easter. Let's forget St. Patrick's Day. So them doing that storyline, yeah. Okay, now Wade Barrett's on to replace Pat McAfee. Oh boy, we're really in trouble now. Pat's not there. They did 2 hours and 40 minutes tonight.
Something like that.
Like I just don't like. You never know what you're gonna get with Raw now.
Right.
And I think that's kind of a little bit of a problem, too. You're sitting there with your bag of popcorn, and the show only goes an hour. You still got a half a bag of popcorn.
No.
Like, I mean, granted, it's Netflix. Like, they don't have anybody coming on after them. It's the same thing like when we do Pipe Bomb Radio. Like, we always say, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to shoot for 2 hours, but it ends up being 2 hours and 43 minutes, 2 hours, 28 minutes. Oh, shit, we did 3 hours and 26 minutes. Watch out, people. Like, I don't know what to expect time limit now, because now it's been 3 different times.
Right.
And their match count is about the same. Oh, we're going to have 5 matches on the card. And then fill you with a bunch of commercials and bullshit. Like, you sit there and you're like, oh, this is happening? Okay. But, I don't know. Like, I got the mixed, the mixed bag of beans is out for all, but I don't think they can keep up the steam.
I mean, I can honestly say I'm looking forward to Saturday night's main event, which takes place in my home state down in San Antonio. Of course, we've got the Royal Rumble coming up, so I'm certainly looking forward to talking about it here on this program. Now, there's one thing I got to clarify. Excuse me. Now, last week I did an episode about Penta's debut, and as I kind of talked about the man's career, I mentioned that the Lucha Brothers versus the Young Bucks in that steel cage match, the AEW World Tag Team Championship, was my favorite steel cage match ever, which it is. But at the same time, I got to apologize to Thunder Rosa, because Thunder Rosa versus Dr. Britt Baker DMD, I also consider that match, when Thunder Rosa became champion, that steel cage match between the two, I consider that also my favorite match, and I forgot to mention it. So I feel really bad, because everybody knows Thunder Rosa is my hero. So Thunder, sorry, your match with Dr. Britt Baker DMD, that steel cage is my favorite single steel cage match ever. Now, as far as tag team, the Lucha Brothers versus the Young Bucks in that steel cage, that's my favorite tag team steel cage match. But you know what? Everyone can say you can have two favorites, Alex. It's okay.
I'm glad you got that confession out.
Well, why do you say that?
Because, I mean, not for anything. The list of steel cage matches over the course of time, you kind of actually got to throw Hell in a Cell in there too. Hell in a Cell is still technically considered a steel cage match.
Yeah, it's far more brutal.
And if I'm going to throw any in, all right, some of my favorites of all time, they probably were mostly going to be singles. Undertaker, Mankind. That's
Pittsburgh.
One. Triple H and Undertaker at Mania.
Oh yeah.
In Hell in a Cell, that is up there. I mean, that list could be legit ridiculous.
But
and one match I probably would have loved to have seen a different outcome from, and they really didn't have an outcome from, Rollins and Bray Wyatt.
Oh, The Fiend, yeah.
That, I mean, I would have loved to have seen a better outcome, but that match was sadistic. And you gotta and it's not a good cage match if you ain't got a little bit of Crimson Mask running around. Like,
oh, Kane.
Yeah, you know. Just saying, and you gotta have blood.
I mean,
like a cage match is not a true cage match unless somebody is bleeding.
I mean, there was blood between Thunder Rosa and Dr. Britt Baker, DMD.
Undertaker, Shawn Michaels, the debut of Kane.
Mm-hmm.
That is up there.
Yeah, but I'm glad I was able to clarify now again, because, you know, Thunder Rosa versus Dr. Britt Baker, I mean, not only my favorite steel cage match ever, along with the Lucha Brothers and the Young Bucks, but, you know, the match itself was fantastic. But, you know, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and Thunder Rosa are very strong and super talented and amazing female professional wrestlers. I've got a lot of respect for them both, and I'm grateful for that match as well. But I'm glad I was able to clarify it. But yeah, a lot of wrestling fans say, don't worry, Alex, it's fine. You can have two favorites. So my two favorite steel cage matches ever, to once again, ladies and gentlemen, one is Thunder Rosa versus Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and the other, the Lucha Brothers versus the Young Bucks. So glad I was able to clarify, but again, I had to, because I felt that I disrespected Thunder Rosa, who, again, I consider to be a hero of mine. So glad I was able to clarify, but any final thoughts, Ricky?
Promotion. I got to do promo.
Well, go for it.
Well, Pipe Bomb Radio NYC has been a fixture in the production company for a really, really long time. And because we had a radio station, formerly known as Sound Machine FM, everything's been rebranded. Pipe Bomb Radio NYC is still Pipe Bomb Radio NYC. However, Sound Machine is now 6-9 Radio. Playing on the Zeno radio app, I'm sure Alex will pull all of the details in the description of the episode. But it is currently up and running. We are currently running a 90s theme for the month. So if you tune in, we will be having 90s music on the station currently. Obviously, yours truly, and that lovely, lovely gentleman over there will be live back on the mics as soon as we figure out all of our details. PBR back on the radio, be doing Friday night remixes and our really, really great radio shows with our other co-host, Crisscross. So stay tuned for that, but make sure you check out 6ix9ine Radio on the Zeno Radio app. Currently running live and hot as we speak.
Well, and of course, you could find the app, Zeno Radio. So you just download it, and then you check out Pipe Bomb Radio New York City. And of course, you check out the 6ix9ine Radio. You'll find them both. They're there. And of course, find Ringside Chaos on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and pretty much wherever you get your podcast. So please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way, Ricky and I know for sure that you're not going to miss out on any exciting upcoming content. Thank y'all very much for joining. Ricky, thank you so much for doing this episode. I cannot wait to do it again, sir.
Oh, it was amazing as usual.
Uh-huh. All right, y'all have a good one, and God bless.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.